I'm not a player, I just crush a lot. That could be the theme song for our next guest. There's a great show on Showtime, and sadly the season finale is this Sunday at 10 p.m. It's called The Real L Word. It's a reality series based loosely, or kind of, or made by the same person who made The Real L Word, drama one-hour series with Jennifer Beals that used to be on, what was it called? Showtime. And this one is still on Showtime, and it's I'm addicted to the show. It is appointment TV for me. And earlier this week we spoke to Rose, who is a beautiful woman in a relationship with another. They're all beautiful women, frankly. I don't know where they find all of them, but there they are. And one character is this woman named Whitney, who's gorgeous as well, has a full arm sleeve tattoo, a lot of piercings, amazing dreads that I want to discuss with her. And she apparently enjoys sex with a lot of women often. Please welcome her to the show. Hi, Whitney.
Hi.
Okay,
I like
Whitney.
That little lead-in of the I don't want to be a player no more. That seems to be my anthem nowadays.
Well, you know, you're a little bit of a player, Whit.
I mean, see, I like to call it openly non-committal.
Now, I am kind of fascinated by you, as I think the rest of lesbian America is.
Well, thank you, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. How old are you, first of all?
I honestly, my birthday was Sunday, and I turned 28.
Okay, so you're still very young. That's the other thing.
Very young?
Well, honey, I'm 20 years older than you. I could be your mom.
That would be amazing.
I'm not so sure. But I think I'd be probably much more strict than your parents. What you said about how you told your parents you were gay, you were running outside to play when you were 8 years old on coming out day, and you said to your dad, "Dad, I'm gay." And he said, "Okay, honey."
You know, I think I was actually 13, but it was more, my parents were so open and accepting about it that to sit them down and literally come out to them would have been about the equal of a heterosexual person sitting their parents down and saying, "Mom, Dad, just to let you know, I'm straight." You know, it was so not an issue for me. I was so lucky in that regard. So basically it was just me bringing home a girl instead of a boy one day.
Right. And you always knew you were gay, and your parents did. You just were a little tomboy, and it was just known to you from the get-go?
Yeah, tomboy is an understatement. I woke up one day and said, "Mom, I don't really want to be a girl anymore. I want to be like Billy Idol."
Mm-hmm.
So there it was from then on.
But you didn't want to ever be a boy. You didn't ever think, "God, I wish I was born a boy."
No. I mean, I fully enjoy being a woman and embrace it. I just identified with, things the boys did.
Yeah, same with me. I was, like, always playing baseball, and I was totally, you know, like, there were movies when I was a kid, like Jodie Foster would do all these movies, and I was like, "Oh, see, that I'm like her," or Christy McNichol on Family. You're probably way too young for this, but there was an hour-long show of a family, and Christy McNichol played the young teen girl. She was my age, and she always wore overalls, and she liked baseball, and I'm like, "See, that's who I am right there."
Exactly. I was the girl who was the only girl on the football league in the entire state.
Wow. Now, where did you grow up?
I was born in Connecticut, and I lived there until I graduated high school, and then moved to New York for about 9 years.
And did you go to college?
I did, actually. That's one thing I must say. I think, you know, obviously I'm kind of hypersexualized on the show, but I do have two bachelor's degrees. I took my LSATs. I was going to go to law school.
Wow.
I got a brain in this head.
Well, it's quite obvious. It's not like you're, you know, a girl going out, getting down with everybody and not able to conjugate a verb. You're obviously very intelligent, but it does seem as though no one works except Mikey.
I mean, you know, Mikey's career is very important to her, and I think her story focused a lot around that. So, I mean, we all definitely work. You know, Nikki definitely rocks her career. Everybody does. You know, I think that was really important with Eileen Chaikin choosing us, that we all were successful, driven women.
And how did you get involved in doing the show? Were you friends with Eileen from the L.A. circuit, or how does a 28-year-old or 27 at the time year old woman find her way onto a lesbian reality show?
How do I find my way in? You know, actually, a friend of mine got called in to do a casting, and she didn't want to go alone. I hadn't really heard of it yet. I obviously watched The L Word, but I didn't hear about The Real L Word. So I went in, honestly, just to keep her company and sit with her, and they auditioned both of us on camera and then separated both of us and ended up passing me on.
And what was the audition like? They just spoke to you and to see if you were able to be, you know, kind of natural on camera?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it wasn't an audition as much as it was just, you know, finding out who I was as a person, you know, seeing what different levels there were to my character, what would I do for a living, what was I comfortable with, what do I identify as. You know, they wanted to make sure that we weren't one-dimensional.
Right. What do you do for a living, Whit?
I do special effects makeup
right
now.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the thing. I get jobs, you know, that come and go, so...
What, do you know the name of that? Oh, God, that name is blanking because when you're 48, this will happen to you, too. It's a it's a married couple, and they do all the effects for Nip Tuck and for Bob. What's their names?
No.
Oh, I went when I did Nip Tuck. I had my face, you know, they made a mold and everything, and I went to their special effects studio.
Oh, nice.
It was fascinating.
Yeah, it's amazing. Honestly, it's allowed me to be creative and work with my hands and at the same time, you know, make money, so that doesn't hurt. But honestly, my goal for moving out here is actually I used to do art therapy with kids, and I'm trying to start a nonprofit working with that.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Yeah. After Katrina, we had a bunch of art therapists go down to Renaissance Village, which was the largest refugee camp, and work for months with all the kids there. And some of the art that they made, oh, my God, heartbreaking. And I think very healing in the end.
Absolutely. I mean, it has a huge effect on children's lives, I think, art.
Do you paint?
I do. I do paint and mixed media, and I used to be a carpenter, and I just like working with my hands, as you can see on the show.
As I certainly can. Now, honey, can we get to the dildo episode?
Oh, my goodness. Can we ever?
Okay. Now, Whit, when you signed onto this show, did they say, and by the way, we'd like to catch you doing sexual activities on film. And you thought, fine?
I thought, hey, why not? No, you know what? Honestly, when I signed on to do this, I made a pact to myself that I was going to go 100% in or I wasn't going in at all. Because I knew if I, like, modified any part of my life or, like, neglected any part, that it wouldn't be real to me. So I said I wouldn't close the door in the bedroom, bathroom, kitchen, whatever. And that's what I did. You know, honestly, I'm very comfortable with my body, as you can see.
Yes, and if I had a body that looked like yours, I probably would be comfortable with mine, too.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
But, you know, we were consenting adults that cared about each other, and I see it as empowering. Honestly, I see it as hopefully educational to some people that don't necessarily know what lesbian sex is.
Right.
And it's empowering. I think that we live in a society where it's okay for men to do certain actions, but, you know, women get kind of the raised eyebrow. And to me, it just was what it was, you know, as long as we're two, like I said, consenting adults.
Right, but did you, because I knew you had a little, a couple of Schlitz beers or whatever the white trash beer was after the cream corn wrestling, that maybe you were a little tipsy and didn't really fully understand there was a camera person in the room?
You know what the thing is? Like, the girls from the show came into my room the other day and were shocked because I think it looks much bigger on TV. It's actually not a big room. So, yes, when I looked up, I was like, whoa, who's that girl with the giant camera in the corner?
Yeah, but it
did. No, I didn't at all. I mean, it was, we had a couple cocktails, but, you know, I mean, it wasn't the first time we've drank, you know. So I don't think we could be in a state where we had no idea what was going on. Obviously, it might have made it a little more comfortable. But, you know, like I said, it wasn't the first time we had done that, like, in terms of hooking up.
Oh, no. And I also have a question about what Romy, how do you say your name?
Romy.
What does Romy do for a living? Because the woman is so comfortable being naked. I think I've seen her tits more than I've seen my own. She's,
I know,
just,
you know what? And she's got great tits.
She does. She's a beautiful woman. She's laying on the bed, totally naked. I'm like, you know, I've been a lesbian a very long time. None of these experiences have ever happened to me.
You know, she's a makeup artist, actually.
Really?
Makeup artist. But she's so, the comfort with her body is so refreshing to me. And I think, you know, more women, regardless of what your body looks like, love your body and be proud of it. I mean, you don't have to be naked on TV necessarily. But,
right.
You know, if you want to be, you know.
And were you the only one? Did anyone else agree to be naked? Because we haven't, you know, no one else is naked but you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think everybody had different boundaries, you know, and my boundaries just seemed to be wide open.
Yeah. Now, what's going on now? Has Sada moved down from San Francisco and broken your heart yet?
You know, Sada might be around right now in general, but you have to stay tuned. I'm not going to give
right.
it away.
Well, just can you look to your left and look to your right and tell me, is Tor or Romy or Sada next to you right at this moment?
Right now, I am solo in my room.
All right, good. Right solo now. In your room. That's a new experience for you.
I know. Yeah. God, I'm so lonely in here.
I'm sure all you have to do is open the door and you'll have a lot of people parading on
Maybe
in.
Maybe I should look in my closet. There might be one in there.
Can I ask you, how has it changed your life? Because, like, I'm sure that there are young women, or, you know, your age, which to me is young, going, oh, my God, there she is. You're the lesbian rock star now.
You know, yeah, I mean, we definitely get recognized out, and I think, you know, I stand out just because of the way I look. So I think, you know, in a crowd, people see me more. But, you know, it's great to have the support, honestly. Like, if we did it and nobody recognized us, nobody came up and talked to us, then it would be like, well, why do we do this? You know, I've gotten so many emails from young girls, you know, thanking me for giving them confidence and making them feel comfortable in discussing their sexuality with their parents or friends,
right?
Or giving them confidence to come out. And honestly, that made everything worth it.
You seem so unbearably comfortable in your own skin, not just sexually, but just like who you are, how you live, what you feel. I mean, we see you struggle when you've, you know, just made out with Tor and then Romy walks in the bar and you have to like put one girlfriend on pause and run outside and deal with the other one. So,
right.
But you know, you seem so comfortable in who you are. Have you always been that way?
I mean, yeah, you know, my parents were so just nourishing in that sense. You know, it didn't matter what I looked like. You know, when I was little, I literally went from looking like a girl to looking like a boy almost overnight. And I never got made fun of. And I didn't realize until a couple years ago that I think the reason why that happened was because my parents made it seem so natural that I just came into school with this comfortable confidence. And so everybody just assumed it was normal, you know? And I think that's really important for parents to instill in their kids, you know, being confident with who you are, being comfortable in your skin and owning it.
You know, it's funny. I look back on pictures of myself in high school and I wore a tie and a vest a lot of days, but you know,
I love that.
Yeah, but it was the Annie Hall kind of, you know, like it was supposedly hip and artistic, but looking back, I look like one of the Bay City Rollers, you know.
I love that.
I got a David Cassidy haircut I was trying to work. It wasn't really going very well for me.
David Cassidy, that is classy.
Yeah,
I
had a little bit of a crush on him, actually, and Lori Partridge, to tell the God's honest truth.
Of course.
Now, what do your parents think of the program? Have you had any negative feedback from people? Do people stop you and go, you're so mean to Tor, and I can't believe that you're... Do people comment on it?
You know, people will comment, like, on Facebook sometimes, but I'm surprised, actually, at the majority of the support has been support. You know, it's been positive, and I haven't gotten that much negative feedback. Obviously, after the whole white trash party thing, I got some flack. The one thing that I do regret is, you know, my disregard for Tor at that moment. She's a fantastic, fantastic girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a lapse in judgment, honestly.
Yeah. But you've been breaking her heart since she moved in there.
Oh, don't say that.
It's okay, honey, but you have. She's young. She's obviously in love. And, you know, her friend, your roommate, you know, she came there sort of, I think, with expectations of something other than you're able to deliver.
Right. It's true. I mean, she is young, and honestly, she was put through such a whirlwind. She literally got off a plane from Connecticut and stepped into the cameras and stepped into a new city, and it's a lot for someone to deal with, and she's only 22.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So.
And you with the paintball, whoever wins gets to top the other one. I'm like, oh, dear Lord. What are these young lesbians doing? Well, actually, I could, frankly, and I think it might be good for you. Might be.
It could be. It could be. Having a very small person.
Yeah. And you're not the boss. How about that?
I know.
Yeah,
God,
that'd be a change for you.
That would be.
So now you're not renewed. Rose told me you're not renewed yet, but there's a good chance you're going to be.
Yeah, we're waiting to hear back. I mean, fingers crossed. I think all of us are open to do it again. It was a great experience.
And are you all friendly?
Oh, my God. This is the one thing I can say about this show is I'm so grateful for it because I have made a new family. I love these girls with all my heart. You know, they each have different roles. We all come together. But, you know, if I have a problem or need advice, I call Nikki and Jill and they put me on speakerphone. Or, you know, Rose and I go out. Mikey and I hang out. Tracy, we all are so close.
I have never seen any couple use a speakerphone more often than Nikki and Jill.
I know. How cute are they?
They need to get a sponsorship from some cell phone company.
Right? And you know what else they need a sponsorship from? Fancy Coffee. Because I always say, are you guys drinking Fancy Coffee right now? Because that's what I picture you doing.
Now, what does she do, Nikki, for a living?
She owns Weiss & Company. She represents directors and producers, I believe.
And you heard I'm a little concerned about Mikey's drinking?
I did hear you say that.
Whitney, not as a judgment, just literally, like, if I was her friend, like, I'm not, because it's only on TV, but you are, I'm just a little concerned.
You know, the thing about Mike is she works really hard, and she's really good at what she does. And I think, you know, sometimes she likes to have a cocktail, mm-hmm. as do we all.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I don't know how much her drinking is a problem necessarily, but, you know, I'm sure that it kind of highlights it on TV sometimes.
Well, my concern was mostly that she had worked so hard to do this one fashion week 3 days in a row, and she missed one of the days from being hungover.
Yeah, I mean, I heard that it wasn't exactly the way it went. I'm not sure, but I know that she did end up showing up. And like I said, she's always so on the ball. You know, we're all human. We all make mistakes. So
it's not really a judgment. I'm not like saying, and it's a bad thing, and she's a shitty person because of it. I just think as her friends, maybe, you know, keep your little antennas up and look, because there's been more than one time where I've heard her slurring, and I'm like, uh-oh, Mikey.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Although I will say the white trash party when you were like, Romy, you want to go in the bedroom?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I know. I got a little slurry. I think it was more after. Because I saw her lead me in there. I watched it back. I was like, I'm being led in there.
Oh, but yeah. Romy, like, Romy knew what she was doing, honey. Romy's no one's victim.
Yeah, exactly.
But poor little Tor that night, too. Tor was a little slurry after. She's like, do you mean to tell me they're in that same room?
I know. Oh, my God. When it panned to her just taking that tequila, that was intense. She's so cute. That Tor is just so, my baby koala, she's so cute.
I know, that's what you call her after you won the paintball.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, listen, it's a very enjoyable show to watch, I have to tell you, and I feel like you could all be my, you know, kids/friends.
But, well, thank you, and I heard when you come out here, Rose and I are taking you out on the town. Rosie.
Oh, I totally want to hang. I really do. I do feel like I may have to get home early because I'm not quite as young as you kids.
Good. Well, we'll take you to the Abbey, that means, in the afternoon. We'll start off early and then continue on.
All right, then. It's a deal.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, you carry on, Whitney. I think that you're all lovely women, and I really think the show is very, very enjoyable, and you're doing a great thing in terms of bringing visibility to, like, a cult subculture that people don't quite understand.
Thank you so much. You know, I was listening to you the other day, and when the caller called in and said, you know, this isn't what we look like, and you kind of stepped up and said, I don't think there's a we here. I think that's a really important statement to make, because there is no we. You know,
right.
Lesbians can come in all shapes, colors, you know, femininity levels, all across the board. And I think it's important, you know, to have increased visibility that represents someone that might not necessarily look like a typical lesbian.
Right. I have to tell you that I've known women who are, you know, very feminine and gorgeous, and you would never in a million years, quote unquote, think they were gay. But it's just, I've never seen a whole posse of you. You know, like, you all get together. It's like a Vogue photo shoot.
I mean, these are beautiful women. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, like, for example, Nikki and Joe will catch flack and people will question their sexuality because of their femininity. You know, they're two women in love.
Right.
They happen to be gorgeous. They happen to be successful. And, you know, that is what it is. It shouldn't be a question about sexual validity.
Yeah, right. But it is hard for people to wrap their head around without doing what Nikki said her father did, saying, oh, what a waste.
Right.
You know, which is so condescending and insulting in so many levels. But I really think that you're going to get picked up for another season.
I hope so. We'll see.
And I want to do a guest spot. I want to just like be like, you have the white trash party and you invite me and I just sit in the lawn chair and watch.
No, you know what you have to do? You have to be the announcer for Cream Corn Wrestling.
No, I feel as though that announcer girl with that weird hat, she really had it down pat.
She did.
I don't want to be bumping anyone. I just want
to have a judge card, like a scorecard, and you can lift it up and judge us on our performance.
You know, it would be like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Holy shit, this is insane. Get me out of here. Those will be my three cards.
I'll look over and I'll just see dust and you running out.
Yeah, I'll be gone, or else I'll take the camera people with me. Leave them alone. Let them have some privacy. Damn it.
You'll be my bodyguard.
Yeah, I could do that, Whitney, and you're going to need one apparently. Because and how do you get your hair to look like that? I've never seen such good dreads on a white person.
Thank you. You know, honestly, if people think that dreads are easy, this is a time-consuming process.
It certainly is.
You have to wash it a lot. It takes forever to dry. Basically, you just backcomb it and roll it in your hands, and it kind of trains itself to grow in like that. But I wash my hair a lot and do oil soaks. I got to keep it on point, you know, smelling good for the ladies.
Yeah, for the ladies. All right, Whitney, thank you for calling in.
Thank you so
Say
much.
Say hi to everybody.
I will.
All right,
then.
We'll be right back here on Rosie Radio right after this.
Rosie!